podcast is brought to you by Washington Federal. Washington Federal is a local bank and portfolio lender with more than 200 branches across 8 states, more than 32,000 fee-free ATMs, 24/7 online and mobile banking with drive-up ATMs. And Washington Federal is a proud sponsor of Scorebook Live. They care deeply about high school sports and the communities that support them across the entire state of Washington. Head to WFDBank.com to learn how they can help you meet your financial goals. That's WAFDBank.com. Washington Federal, a neighbor you can count on. We hope everybody's staying safe and healthy. We're just as excited for high school sports to return as you are. This is Scorebook Live Today, a podcast about high school sports across the state of Washington. I'm Andy Bueller, reporter with Scorebook Live Washington, and joining me via Zoom is your pal and mine, senior reporter Todd Millis. Todd, how you doing? It's just you and I today as our pal and Scorebook Live analyst Dan Dickow is preparing to reopen his barbershops in Spokane. So it's just you and I, unfortunately.
Yeah, no, it's unfortunately there's a lot of basketball news going around the state, Andy. It's unfortunately we couldn't get Dan on, but I also understand that, you know, Dan's a businessman too. So if he gets an opportunity to get his businesses in gear and ready for a relaunch, I completely get it. But we have a lot to talk about, obviously.
We do. Now, you know, we're midway. We're at the end of May, I should say. We're months into the quarantine shutdown, and the school year is still going on in an online form across the state. And we've been talking about, we've been covering what's next for high school sports, because as of now, until June 19th, high school sports, that's kind of the day that the shutdown through the end of the school year is set to expire based on the governor's mandate. So more on what's next later in the show. But before we get to that, we're going to talk about a story that could change the way and will change the way that state basketball tournaments on the boys and girls side going forward, starting next year, 2020-2021 season, are going to look. So the WIAA is collecting feedback from member schools and fans through the end of this week regarding three different proposals about a restructuring of the state basketball tournament. Todd, you wrote about this. It's a story on the site right now at scorebooklive.com/Washington. Do you want to give a quick rundown of the three proposals, where they came from, and which are the ones that people should be really keeping an eye on as kind of the most likely options?
Yeah, and we've been hearing about, you know, the executive board, you know, looking at some other options, Mick in particular, all the way back into basketball season. And so last week, he presented the three options to both coaches associations. He made a presentation on Zoom with the athletic directors, and you know, you can kind of tell which ones are which. So I mean, you know, the first two options are WIAA authored, and you can see kind of their handprints all over it. And let's just say in a general sense, all three options kind of have one denominator, and that's another layer of the state playoffs. So making, you know, pushing it from 2 weeks to 3 weeks. And I find that very interesting. We've never had something like that before. So in essence, we'd have a regional round the first week, a super regional round the second week, and then kind of a, you know, final four format. You could call it what you want. It's sort of the final destination point the last week. So option one is kind of mirrors what we've seen here in the past, where it's regional round at approved high school and college gymnasiums. What's a little different is, and what I like about it is, the higher seeded teams will host at the closest approved gym to their school. Now in the past, That was true to, you know, the one seed. So if, you know, if Rainier Beach was a one seed, they would play somewhere really close to Seattle or a Metro League, you know, a Metro League site, you know, which has been Bellevue or SPU in the past, whatnot. What I like about this is it doesn't matter if you're a one seed or you're a, you know, seven seed, eight seed, you're going to play close to your gym. So you're going to do that. You're actually going to do that for two straight weeks and then go to the final destination point. Now, that's been floated around mainly as the Tacoma Dome for the bigger schools and Yakima and Spokane for the smaller schools. That's option one. Option two, again, the first week is this sort of this what we know as the regional round. Higher seeds play at a high school and college gym close to campus. The difference is in the second option is the WIA will bring the quarterfinalist to one site. And it looks like that's going to be Yakima for a 3-day super regional round, single elimination tournament. Starting with all the B schools on a Thursday, 1A and 2A schools on a Friday, 3A and 4A schools on a Saturday.
And then this is all classifications. This is 1B to 4A at one site.
Yeah, and you know, that's great for basketball fans that don't get to see the 2B schools. You get this is the one option where you can go to a Yakima for a short period of time and see all six classifications represented. And I haven't seen that before. That's the cool thing I think about this second option. And then the winners go on to the final four and play in the semifinals Friday, championship game Saturday. The third option is the one that the both coaches association, it sounds like Mick had gone to both coaches associations and asked for a third option. And this is the idea that both coaches association kind of formulated. I know the WIA executive board helped with the language and knew of some of, you know, the facility availability. So it was a combo proposal mainly spearheaded by the coaches association. And this is, you know, not surprisingly, this is the one that the coaches most want, because this sort of is in line of what they've wanted for years and years and years when they saw the 16 team double elimination tournament go away. So this gives them, you know, this gives them an option to go play consolation games. Now the difference in this third proposal is all teams would go, it's sort of like a mini NCAA tournament. So the first week, all the small schools would go to Yakima, play for 6 days, both games. They would play two rounds. Each school would get two games guaranteed. And then obviously the winners would go on to the final four. And then the next week they would bring in the 2A, 3A and 4A schools. Each school would play two games and the survivors would go on to the final four. And the difference in the last weekend of this particular coach's proposal is that they want third place games too. So that final destination point, whether it's Tacoma Dome or the Sun Dome or the Spokane Arena for those small schools, if you play in the semifinals and you lose, you're playing again on Saturday in a third place game. So again, it goes in line with what the coaches have wanted for years. They want to see more games. I mean, how many coaches do you know, Andy, don't want to see, you know, play, have more games on their schedule, especially in the postseason? And this particular proposal allows that. It's, you know, again, different financial projections for all three. I don't think we need to get into that on this particular podcast, but those are kind of the three proposals in a nutshell. And you're going to see the coaches, heavily lean toward theirs. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, the information that Mick and the WI collects and what direction they go from there.
It was certainly obvious that a ton of coaches supported this. I mean, we saw it in the feedback to the story you wrote that we're running down right now. You and I both heard it in conversations with coaches as well. There's a player, an all league player in uh, a, girls basketball all league player who's going to be a junior next year who reached out for an explainer on this. And she really expressed that the third option for her, she would prefer as well. Her school is going to go down to a 2A level. They were a 3A last year. They're going down to 2A. And now, you know, with the third option, you get 2A, 3A, and 4A, you know, playing in the same arena. And so she said, you know, as a player and as a fan of the game, it gives me a chance to watch more teams. And so this isn't just coaches, but there's a sentiment from coaches that I heard that this option three was more player friendly. What do they mean by that?
Well, again, nobody wants to play a single elimination state tournament. Nobody wants to play, get geared up for one game and then see your season end. That's what they mean by player friendly. They don't, and they're not just player friendly, it's school friendly, it's band friendly, it's student body friendly, it's parent friendly. And again, let's kind of rewind a reason why then Mike Colbreeze, the WI executive director and the board, the reason why those games went away was those consolation games largely went away was because nobody was attending them. And that was a big deal to Coaches Association. They've fought to try and get that back on the docket ever since it went away. And yeah, I get it. You know, players want to play games. Coaches want to coach. And this option gives them that, both at the super regional level and at the Final Four level. You know, it's going to be, like I said before, this isn't the Mike Colbreeze era anymore. This is the Mick, Mick Hoffman era, and he's a former basketball player, so he gets it. He understands it from that side. So it'll be interesting to see as they balance their finances and projections, and to see if they can make a serious, you know, give that third option a serious consideration, because I think largely that's what coaches want. And as you pointed out, that's one player. I'm sure she sort of speaks for the collective voice of players as well.
We'd love to hear from you, the listener, on this, whether you're a coach, whether you're a fan, whether you're an administrator or a player. So reach out to us on Twitter. I'm at Andy Bueller. Todd's at Many Hats Millis. My email's in my Twitter bio as well. Not hard to find. So we'd love to hear from you. We'll be happy to read any responses to this on a future podcast. But I do understand what you're saying, Todd, about how coaches, you know, do want to advocate for those consolation games. I think back to just a couple months ago when we were watching basketball at the Tacoma Dome and seeing the way, especially on the boys' side, the way that particularly Union and Olympia stand out as teams that finish their season on wins. Olympia won the fourth place game against Sumner after bowing out in the state quarterfinals. They had to, you know, turn around and win a couple more games after that. And so that's a few days of consolation games. And, you know, they finished out on top winning that fourth place game. That was a big confidence booster and a big kind of way to end the season on a positive note for them. I know, you know, talking to John Kiley a couple weeks ago, they were really proud of that Union the same way, you know, not ending their season on suffering the first loss of the season in the state semifinals, being able to turn around that next day and really prove it. And you can kind of tell in those games who shows up and which teams don't. So scorebooklive.com/Washington is where you're going to find a breakdown of each of those three options that Todd, that you just ran through. Next up on the docket, the NFHS, the National High School Federation, which is the governing body overseeing each state association, released on Wednesday or Tuesday an integrated plan that was approved by their medicine advisory committee that endorses kind of a three-phase plan as the most effective way to integrate sports back into the academic setting. And so what that looks like is, you know, this is just laying out what it's going to look like, what guidance the National Federation is giving each state to kind of move forward once each individual governor, once local officials allow that to happen. So in Washington, Governor Jay Inslee is, depending on what region you are, depending on your COVID cases and a number of things, different areas are going to start to be able to do things sooner than others. And so those interested in what a return to high school sports is going to look like might want to take a look at this phased plan from the NFHS. It just kind of outlines what each step might look like under the guidance, of course, of local officials. Todd, you were the one that wrote this up. Busy week for you, right? Writing up news. What were your big takeaways? And did anything surprise you that you read in the document?
Well, I think, I read over the entire document, and yes, it was technically written up by the medical advisory board. I think you should probably mention that it was also probably with a big assist from the legal advisory board, because that's a lot of what this document was. And again, I don't think I'd want listeners or viewers to read the document and read our story and go, oh my gosh, that's exactly what's going to happen. I do want to stress to people, this is NFHS guidelines. Guidelines. The state can look at them, read them, take bits and pieces of them, utilize them. They've done a lot of the research for state associations that haven't. I would gather if I were in mixed situation, there's some things that are pretty useful with that. I think there are also things that are very unique about the reopening or relaunch in Washington that I would formulate some different ideas or different ways to go about different things in different phases. So the things that kind of stuck out to me and again, I tried to cherry pick some of the highlights from each phase, things that you if you let your mind kind of think about it, or sort of common sense things, like, for example, not allowing athletes to share water bottles. I mean, you think about that, it's almost like a knee-jerk action now for athletes. They just kind of grab a water bottle that a teammate's drunk from. This is, it's those reminders of, let's slow down and think about what we're doing here. Let's make sure that we're recording, our participants on a daily basis when they show up to practice. Are they coughing? Have they had a fever? A lot of it is just sort of, logging specific things. It's going to take a lot more of a thorough checklist for coaches, I think, especially in that first phase, than they're used to. But a lot of it's just common sense stuff in this new COVID era that I wanted to kind of point out and get people thinking about, going directly home and washing your gear after a workout, not using a locker room in the first phase, gradually utilizing a locker room with social distancing in the second phase. I mean, everything is sort of that's why we have three phases. It's sort of a gradual increase to what the new normal is. And so, again, this isn't law, it's guidelines. I hope people that read the documents go into it thinking that way and sort of take it, for what it is.
Yeah, down in Oregon, I wrote about this on the site. The OSAA, the State Association in Oregon, just sent out a press release on Wednesday that essentially says that schools can control what happens at school facilities starting on May 26th in accordance with those guidelines. And I liked this quote from the executive director down there, Peter Weber, who said, "It's not like coming back, we're going to flip a switch. It's going to be like a dial. It's going to be more of a gradual type of reopening." And I think that, succinctly kind of summarizes what you were describing in this phased plan, where, high school sports in phase one, you're doing temperature checks with everyone, no locker rooms, like you said. And so this is something that's, it gives folks, it should give folks an idea of what to expect. Now, that news broke yesterday as we record this Wednesday. in Oregon. Now, in Washington, schools, member schools are still waiting until June 19th, that June 19th date. And, you know, if before then there's some sort of guidance or some sort of direction, what comes next, we're not sure yet. We're still waiting. But that's, I would say, positive news down south in Oregon, and typically a pretty good barometer for how things might be handled up in Washington. So expect something like that, you know, sooner rather than later.
And let me do, there's one additional thing that was aside from the three phases of reopening sports that I thought were interesting. It's interesting for us, you know, who can go watch these games once we do, you know, once we do have a season again.
You and me, Todd.
I thought it was, and honestly, I was surprised by this. I was surprised. Okay, they had those in three phases as well. You know, the essential people and, you know, the players, the officials, the medical staff, the security staff, the coaches. The second phase was media, ahead of parents. Now, I don't particularly like that. I don't particularly like that idea. I mean, I like that idea for me. It's important for us to go be able to report on games that people can't be at. But to be in a phase two ahead of somebody's parents or somebody's family members, I think, you know, a savvy state association would look at that and kind of try and be able to blend that those last two phases, you know, like limit parents or limit family members or whatnot. You know, I'd have a hard time coming through a media gate at a football game and watching somebody's parents stay outside the stadium and go, "Hey, yeah, I'm going and watching your son or daughter play a game, and good luck." You know, I think that one was surprising. I know that one won't go over well with family members. I hope, you know, that's a particular guideline that I hope state associations would tweak.
No question. Both of those stories that we've discussed and more information and, you know, the full documents from, you know, both the NFHS and the WIA are on scorebooklive.com/Washington. It's your home for high school sports coverage. Todd, you and I are still churning out stories on a daily basis, podcasts and the likes. So there's plenty to look out for. I really enjoyed your Instagram live interview on Wednesday with Talia von Olhoffen of Chihuahua. She's a 5-star guard who is a top 10 recruit 2021 nationally. She is headed to Oregon State, and she talked about why in a great interview with you. So that's on the site as well. Is there anything that you're working on right now that you want listeners and readers to keep an eye out for?
Yeah, I mean, we continue our county athlete top athletes in each county. We're nearing the end of our 10 biggest counties. We're sort of our expanded look at the top biggest counties, and then we'll start sort of modifying that for the other counties moving forward. That's been a really fun project, Andy. And I grew up here, and I've covered a lot of athletics. It's kind of fun being reminded of some of the athletes back in the 80s and 90s that I'd sort of forgotten about, or some of the athletes, especially some of the, you know, the old timers, and listening to other media and listening to fans talk about somebody who played in the 50s or 60s. It's been a really fun project to research on, and we'll continue obviously that through the weekend. We're right in the middle with Yakima County, Whatcom County. And I think Benton County is the final one of our 10 biggest counties. And so we'll continue with that. You know, a lot of what we're doing right now is what breaks. And, but I do need to remind you, it's Memorial Day weekend. What are we usually doing on Memorial Day weekend, pal?
Covering sports.
Well, I think it's usually been Spring Fest. I mean, can you believe it? Right. I mean, today, usually the Thursday of Memorial Day weekend is the first day of Star Trek, and it's the first day of Spring Fest.
You know, Todd, I looked at my clock yesterday, realized that it was like 7:45 p.m., and just thought to myself, maybe I should get out of my apartment and go for a walk. That's just what life is now. It's like I think of events like Star Trek, and Star Trek was like the first high school state event I ever covered, and it was with you for the News Tribune. I mean, that is just what an amazing, amazing event. State baseball, state softball. Yeah, it's a real bummer, but you know, we're going to continue to try to highlight some of those stories of athletes that should be competing this weekend. So I'm working on one that I'm really looking forward to that I'll have more on next week when we talk. But yeah, it's pretty weird, isn't it?
It is weird, and it's a reminder of how surreal this time, this sort of period is. This COVID period is. It's we should be getting ready to go to, you know, state baseball or the first day of state track or something. It's just, you know, I mean, when you're used to that for 25 years and just to kind of, I mean, there's just no sign of anything. It's just so, so surreal. But we're turning out copy for everybody. I hope everybody pays attention. And again, a reminder, Dan Dickow, our colleague at Scorebook Live, the daily quarantine series podcast have been phenomenal. A lot of really, really good guests. And it sounds like we're going to continue that moving forward once even past the quarantine. So,
Dan's
done a great job. It's been a lot of really fun listens on a lot of different topics.
Dan's right on the money. 5 days a week on this very feed. If you're not subscribed to this podcast, please do so. Apple Podcasts is one way you can do it. Give us a rating. Leave us a review. It helps us do what we do. Tell us what you like, what you don't like. And you know, you'll get Dan's interview series as well. He's right now, we have a backlog of just everyday great interviews, you know, through June, and he's still continuing to do those. So lots more to come there, for sure. Please stay healthy, stay safe. We're not out of the woods yet, but we are just as excited for high school sports to return as you guys are. So, Todd, I appreciate you joining me here as we record this on a Thursday morning. And I'm sure we'll have plenty more to talk about in a week as news just keeps on breaking. And you know, we're not stopping telling stories. So,
yeah, everybody have a great Memorial Day weekend. And it'll be interesting kind of shifting into the summer and see what's ahead.
No question. For Scorebook Live Washington, I'm Andy Bueller. He's Todd Millis. We'll catch you next week. We'll be right back.